This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's begin with a story that makes you wonder. How does a simple game played by grown-ups end up generating million-dollar fines, charges of a cover-up, a court case, thousands of pages of documents, and multi-million-dollar legal bills? But that's where we are today in the standoff between the NFL and the New England Patriots, and charges that they let a little air out of their footballs last January and that quarterback Tom Brady knew about it. If you're having trouble figuring out who to believe, well, there are now 4,000 documents about Deflategate that have been made public to further confuse you. The massive document dump came from the NFL Players Association, which is representing Brady in court. And joining us now to talk about all of this is Joe Sullivan. He's sports editor for the Boston Globe. And Joe, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So seems like one of the big questions is, what did Brady know? When did he know it? Is there a smoking gun in this trove of documents that either makes it clear that Brady knew about deflating footballs or that he didn't?
I don't believe there is. It was under oath, and he denied knowing. He denied doing it himself, knowing that it was done, or ordering anyone to do it. So we have him saying that under oath. What transpires later in the his testimony is conversations with the equipment manager John Jastrzemski, and what they spoke about in the days right after that game against the Colts. That was for the AFC Championship, and he was. Less specific, let's say, about what Jastrzemski and him spoke about and why they spoke so often right after that game when they hadn't spoken very much before that. The NFL went after him pretty hard in their questioning about the destruction of his cell phone and the timing of it, which happened to be right before he was to testify. No, that wasn't testimony. He was just at being asked questions by people representing the Wells report.
Now, Joe, let me ask you about this, because this is an interesting question about his cell phone. So he says that he didn't know whether it was destroyed. I mean, how can you put that into context a little bit?
Sure. Well, we have to understand how the wealthy live. It also says in there that he doesn't pay for cell phones. He gets them for free, by the way. And when he's done with a cell phone, whether he breaks it or a new one comes out that he desires, he merely gives it to his assistant, who he says is under instructions to destroy it, under direction to destroy it, and then he gets a new cell phone. So the timing of it, he had had that cell phone for 4 months, just seems a little, you know, seems
it raises a question.
Incriminating to some people that he would do it at that hour, and then the text messages were irretrievable, so any text messages that could have been on that phone about deflating footballs were gone forever.
Mm.
His lawyers offered up a record of who he texted with. They were able to get that, and someone would have had to follow up one by one, but they would not have been able to get the actual text message.
Mm. I want to ask you about Ted Wells, and that's the attorney hired by the NFL to look into these allegations. What do these documents tell us about Wells's conclusion that Tom Brady more likely than not knew about the scheme to deflate football?
Well, he found them evasive and perhaps not truthful, and he thought the destruction of the cell phone was key, that was the key to his feelings about his testimony. Destroying the cell phone really carried a lot of weight with Ted Wells, according to his testimony.
Right. But since Wells admitted that they found no definitive proof, but that Wells thought Brady was deceptive, does that make, do you think, this federal appeal, appeal, they're taking this to court. It's not a federal court. It's state court, right?
It's federal court.
It is federal court. Does that make this federal court case easier for Brady, do you think?
I don't think so. I think that what is being presented to the judge is the procedure that the NFL followed and the penalty that they imposed. His guilt or innocence won't be decided in this court of law. It's just whether the NFL followed the rules of the collective bargaining agreement in suspending Brady 4 games.
Right.
I don't think we're going to learn for certain even after this. We're just going to learn whether this judge affirms Goodell's actions or does not.
Okay. Another revelation from these documents, that it was apparently the Baltimore Ravens who tipped off the Indianapolis Colts that the Patriots were allegedly taking air out of their footballs. Now, the Ravens are denying that this afternoon, but tell us a little bit about this.
It's really hard to deny it, the actual email that was sent from their special teams coach to the Colts, but they are denying it. But in that email, the special teams coach of the Ravens tells the Colts GM, I believe, that they had a problem with the kicking balls. Now, in the NFL, you know, each team has their own balls that they use on offense, the Patriots and the Ravens would. And then there are separate kicking balls that the referees put into the game when they're going to kick a field goal or a punt. And there was some issue with the kicking balls when the Ravens had the kick. So that was the basis of the beginning of the email, that you need to look out for the kicking balls. They might try to insert bad kicking balls into the game. And also, it says, be aware of possible deflated footballs because it's well known that the Patriots have equipment managers stick needles in footballs to take air out before the game because Brady likes the ball soft.
Hmm.
So that's almost like a PS, perhaps. And now we're here. You could draw your own conclusions on a lot of things, but, you know, when they played the Ravens in the playoffs the game before, the Patriots used a lot of interesting formations that were legal then and now have been outlawed. And the Ravens sort of moaned about it after the game, and Brady himself from the podium in the post-game press conference said, well, they should know the rules, which some people could look as a little pompous, and I guess this would be the Ravens' way of saying back to Tom, he should know the rules about inflating football.
Interesting. So this case, as we said, is now heading to federal court in New York, but the judge there is urging the two sides to work this out in mediation. Do you think it's possible they will, or is this the disagreement about deflated football is really going to end up being, I don't know, the trial of the decade or the year anyway?
So he has two hearings scheduled, one on the 12th of August, one on the 19th of August, where they can work toward a settlement. They're such, at such loggerheads, and the evidence is so murky, I think a settlement is really the only way out of this, and I hope people would be sensible. So I think in the end, I think people will be sensible. That there will be a settlement. I even have a prediction I've been making around the office.
Tell me.
And I actually made this prediction. I guess I need verification, but I don't have anyone with me. before the appeal is upheld, I believe this will settle as one game for Brady with no admission of guilt.
Hmm. All right.
Well, that's my prediction.
There's a prediction from Joe Sullivan, the sports editor of the Boston Globe, with the latest on the document dump in Deflategate. Joe, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, what are you reading this summer? We'll talk about some great books for those lazy dog days of summer. I'm Anthony Brooks. Stay with us. This is Radio Boston.